and Texans. All play on the Zone FM 102.7 and Sports Radio 1150. This is KZNE, KND HD3, and KND HD4 K274 CM. Coming Station Bryan.
Sports Flash. I'm Jay Berman. This report is brought to you by RingCentral, providing easy-to-use cloud phone solutions for your workforce and business communications. For more information, go to ringcentral.com. All right, tonight, the National League wildcard takes center stage. Pirates hosting the Cubs for the right to face the Cardinals in the division series. Aces on display. Jake Arrieta for Chicago, Garrett Cole for Pittsburgh. But from a skipper's perspective, listen to this. Different take on the play-in game. Let's start with Clint Hurdle.
It's a one-game format. There'll be a lot of people watching. You know, you got to love the concept.
All right. Well, again, that's Hurdle. Here's Joe Maddon. A little less enthused.
We won 97. They won 98. Neither one of us can believe we're in a wild card game. You know, so that's how it's formed.
Yeah, all right. First pitch scheduled for shortly after 8 p.m. Eastern time. Both division series in the AL start tomorrow. Colin McHugh, Yordano Ventura, Astros and Royals from KC. Giovanni Gallardo and David Price will get together. Rangers and Blue Jays also begin their series. From the NFL, the league has announced that international games will indeed continue through 2025. Two more games in London this season, by the way. Week 7, Bills against the Jaguars. Week 8, Lions going up against the Chiefs. By the way, Giants receiver Odell Beckham Jr. has been fined approximately 9 G's for throwing punches last Sunday. Elsewhere, Colts have re-signed Josh Johnson. Indy does claim that Andrew Luck could go tomorrow night. He and Matt Hasselbeck, both questionable, though. Friday on the CBS Sports Network, Southern Miss visiting Marshall. Kickoff scheduled for 7 p.m. Eastern. I'm Jay Berman.
Hey, clones. Jim Rome here, reminding you to join me in the jungle weekdays from 12 until 3 Eastern, right here on CBS Sports Radio.
I'm Patrick Zinert with your community calendar on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone 102.7 FM. Brought to you by R.P. Lee Termite and Pest Control, shielding and protecting homes against pests for over 30 years. For more information, visit rplepestcontrol.com. Blinn College will host an information session for prospective students interested in pursuing careers in law tonight at 5:45 in room 135 of the Bryan Campus Science Building. Tomorrow, Dr. Robert Sapolsky is presenting Why Do Zebras Get Ulcers, Stress, and Health at 6:30 in Rudder Theater. Dr. Sapolsky is a MacArthur Genius Fellow and professor at Stanford University. The Texas A&M Agronomy Society is sponsoring a corn maize and pumpkin patch that's open weekends through November 1st. The location and times are on their Facebook page, Aggie Corn Maize. Today, sunny, we'll reach a high of 91. Tonight, mostly cloudy, we'll get down to a low of 68. Tonight at 6, make your way out to Kreitz Market for the Crosstown Kickoff Show. Stop by to show your support for the Vikings or the Tigers and enjoy some fantastic Kreitz barbecue. For more information, visit the events tab at zone1150.com.
It's Ram Truck Month, and that means it's time to play a game we like to call Follow the Leader. A great leader has to handle the weight of the world on their shoulders. That's no problem for Ram trucks. With Ram 3500's best-in-class 31,210-pound towing capacity, you can bring a whole arsenal of things. Boats, horse trailers, dirt bikes, you name it, Ram 3500 can tow it. When it comes to the claims that matter, we're leading the charge, and we're miles ahead of the competition. With more people driving Ram trucks than ever before, we've built quite the following. Get a great deal on the best trucks during Ram Truck Month. Right now, get $3,000 cash allowance on 2015 Ram 2500 or 3500 models. See your local Ram dealer today and take advantage of this great offer. Visit ramtrucks.com to find a Ram dealer near you and to check out other great deals on the full line of rugged Ram trucks. 2016 350 3500 pickups. Available Cummins diesel when properly equipped. Based on escalating total retail sales of calendar years 2009 through 2015. Residency restrictions apply. Take retail delivery by 11-2.
Pink Alliance is excited to announce that October 8th has been declared Paint the Town Pink Day. We invite you to wear pink this Thursday, October 8th, to any of the following restaurants: Lakeside Ice House, Mickey's Sliders, Napa Flats, Paolo's Italian Kitchen, and Pebble Creek Country Club. And 10% of your bill will be donated to Pink Alliance. Please join us in promoting breast cancer awareness and prevention by painting the town pink this Thursday, October 8th. For more information, please visit our website at pinkalliance.org.
Merry Christmas! Does your Christmas wish list include a store full of Christmas shoppers? To make sure your business has a Merry Christmas, you need a partner capable of delivering a powerful marketing message full of holiday cheer. That partner is Brazos Family Magazine, a local publication filled exclusively with local articles. For more information about Brazos Family Magazine, contact Santa's Elves at Bryan Broadcasting.
Your home for fighting Texas Aggie football. Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
And now it's Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle on Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
Welcome back. Second hour, Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. Aubrey Bloom, Richard Kroom. We're brought to you by MSC Opus. Check out all the great events coming to the season that dreams are made of at mscopus.org. Lots of great events and cool shows coming in, so check those out. Again, mscopus.org. You can give us a call, 693-1150, or text us, 229-1939. And someone asked before, two segments ago, how would A&M do in the Big 12? And we're diving in on that, and some of y'all had some more texts. I thought we would just kind of keep that conversation going. Because, one, neither one of us have really nailed down an answer yet. Because it's hard for me to say, and I'll tell you right now, I'm not going to say that A&M would go this and this in the Big 12. I'm not, because the thing is, well, we don't know how good A&M is yet. They haven't beaten anyone that I would consider a top 15 team to this point, and neither have Oklahoma, Baylor, or TCU. The best win of that whole group is TCU beating Tech, right?
Which was,
yeah, I mean,
fortunate.
Yeah, and Oklahoma winning at Tennessee, which is a decent win. I mean, Tennessee still thought they were. It doesn't look as good now, but the fact that they were down in the fourth quarter, were able to come back. And won that game is probably the second best win of that group. If right behind it would be A&M Arkansas, who's a similar type game. So we don't know a lot about those three teams yet. The thing though that would benefit A&M because of how thin they are on defense is that if those games were spread out, let's say they get Oklahoma in October and then October 10th, and then they play Baylor at the end of October, and then they would play, let's say, TCU the second week in November, that would help because you could essentially rest guys in some of your other games against these weaker teams. I mean, Kansas and Iowa State would essentially be byes, and then A&M could handle the middle of the pack without some of their top-tier guys. So I think they'd be right there with those three teams. I can't say because we don't know how they would do against those three teams is kind of my point.
Yeah, and I think you're looking at it like, are they better than where when I got? Are they better than this team? Are they better than all three of these teams? When that question was asked, or when you read out that question, I looked at it as style of play.
Well, I think their style of play is just fine.
A&M can handle the style of play to beat them.
Well, yeah, A&M essentially runs a Big 12 system, especially on offense, and then defense. You know, there's man teams in the there's press teams in the Big 12. They'd have to do a couple things differently against those kind of teams. They'd be in the nickel a whole lot more. They basically run what they were running against Arizona State, but they'd have more DBs on the field and stuff like that. So I think the system would be fine. But as far as how good the teams are, I don't know yet. If A&M was playing Baylor on a neutral field, my guess is right now Baylor'd be favored by 10. Maybe 7-10
really?
Points. Yeah,
wow.
Well, because Baylor scores a bunch, and I think that Vegas would still. I'm not saying that I would favor Baylor by 10, but I think Vegas would favor Baylor by a touchdown or so. And then TCU, I think, would be real close. The line on that one, mainly because TCU's defense is unproven. The only offense they've stopped is Texas's, which doesn't even count.
And then
Oklahoma.
Although they scored, you know, it's funny, they scored all those points against California, who's now ranked, what,
about
20th or so?
Well, Cal's defense was terrible in that game,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, but
so.
Still, I mean, it's a ranked team.
Yeah, and so, I don't know. The bigger thing that I think would be interesting is how would teams like Baylor or TCU do in the SEC. Oklahoma would be fine because Oklahoma's got layers of athletes. They got guys over the field. But Baylor and TCU, especially at the lines, are a lot thinner.
Yeah, but I disagree with you on that Oklahoma thing. I do not think they have layers of athletes anymore.
No, I'm not saying they'd beat Alabama, but I think they'd be set up as well as A&M is.
Yeah, they're not as deep athletically as they've been in the in the past. In fact, for the last, I would say, 3 or 4 years, that it's been going down.
Well, again, I'm not saying they're the 0-2 Oklahoma that won the national title, but they would be, I think, more prepared, especially on the offensive and defensive lines, than Baylor or TCU, mm-hmm. Just with the depth of their recruiting and the type of guys they get. And that would be the key for Baylor or TCU, because those teams are just as good as the teams in the SEC. I'm not one of these, like, they don't play real football and they're not as good things. If Baylor is playing Alabama or whatever, I guess right now LSU would be the highest ranked team, they have a pretty good chance of beating them. I'd say it's a 50-50 game right now to me. But
that'd be an interesting game to watch.
Yeah, it's about a clash of styles. But the thing is, though, Baylor and TCU are thinner. And if they played a schedule, not that a team like Arkansas or a team like Mississippi State or a team like Ole Miss or Alabama would beat them and would necessarily beat them, but they would beat them up. And it'd be interesting to see how Baylor and TCU's health, two schools that rely on, progressing talent. They don't rely too much on, they need guys that come in as three stars and they develop them over the course of time. Those guys, if they lose some upperclassmen, they'd get guys on the field that weren't quite ready. And I wonder how those two teams would hold up. And someone said, not a good topic. We've recruited for an SEC team the past 4 years. We'd have a different type of team in the Big 12. Yeah, that's true, too. It was just a hypothetical question. Obviously, yeah. A&M's not trying to field a team that would be good in the Big 12. So then John in Cypress said, stop this now. I don't want to even think about being back in that league. And then someone said, Arizona State and Mississippi State victories are better than TCU's victory over Tech. Arizona State's not.
Well, they had their victory last week.
They beat UCLA, but they got clobbered by USC.
But they didn't look good up until
and their offense isn't good.
Yeah.
And TCU won at Tech, which is not an easy thing to do. A&M knows that more than anybody does. So I'd say TCU's victory over Tech is probably the best one there. And so they just beat undefeated UCLA. That's one game. I know. That's what people are texting about UCLA. But it's just one game. You don't get.
Yeah. But it showed that they're capable of doing something if you don't.
As Arkansas almost beating A&M showed that they're capable of more than what they showed their first couple of games.
Well, I still say, and I know Tennessee's had their trouble, but I mean, beating Tennessee's it's a pretty good win for Arkansas, too.
Well, yeah, and they did it better than Oklahoma did. They didn't need overtime to do it. So, maybe, I don't, like I said, who knows. But teams, and the other thing is, teams get better over the course of the year. The Arizona State in week one was not a very good football team. They showed that their next couple games, but now they're better. I mean, maybe they are going to come around. Arkansas is better now than they were a month ago, and you see teams start to do that. Someone texted in, Toledo undefeated in the top 25. Yeah, Toledo's not a bad football team. Still shouldn't win at Arkansas if you're the Arkansas team that everybody was talking about all summer.
You're Arkansas that comes in ranked at the beginning of the season.
And then someone else had texted crew, and this might be another 20 minutes of radio. who would be your playoff top four right now?
That's a good one.
Yeah, because I'm not. You get into a lot of unknowns here.
Well, you get into like Ohio State's the defending champs. They are undefeated, but they haven't looked good.
Well, that's two.
So there's
ways to address the question. Is who's gonna end? Who do we think is gonna end up in the top four at the end of the season? Yeah. Or if the playoff was right now and you were on the committee, who would you put in the top four? Those are very different questions.
Like Alabama has a loss, but could you still put them in the top four? Those are good questions. LSU would have to be there, I would believe.
They wouldn't for me if I was doing it right now. If I was doing it, the what have you shown me top four, mine would probably be Utah, A&M.
You'd put A&M in there.
Yeah, I think A&M's schedule has been really good. I mean, it's not that any one game was awesome, but the fact that they've beaten Arizona State, Arkansas,
they haven't
Mississippi
played
State,
a nobody.
Yeah, they've right. played three pretty good teams. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think Ball State and Nevada weren't horrible either.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Now those even their yeah. two giveaway games,
their cupcakes were a little heartier.
Yeah,
they were heartier yeah. cupcakes than the they were bacon cupcakes compared to the other ones. So yeah, I'd go Utah, I'd go A&M, I'd probably go
Michigan
it gets hard
State.
After that. Yeah, I'd probably go Michigan State and I'd probably go Baylor. I think Baylor's looked so dominant that even though they haven't played anybody good yet, and Tech's all right, I think that'd be my top four right now. Now I don't think that's my end of the year top four. Right. I don't necessarily think that A&M's going to get there because they've got a lot left to prove still, namely finally winning a game at LSU, and then I would have Ohio State in there. I think they're going to get better as the season goes on.
And their next game will essentially either knock themselves out or will knock Alabama out.
Yeah, and I don't think Utah's there yet. I don't think they have the depth for 12 games. I think they're good. But I think we'll see if they can go all the way through November and not drop one. So I don't know who my projected end of the year top 20 or top four would be, but that's who I'd have right now, Kareem. So there you go.
Kind of funny because Florida State hasn't lost yet either, and no one's really thought of them.
I don't like.
And yet, I would say this time last year they hadn't lost either, but they didn't look very good at all. Remember, they were the team that was having to sneak out.
Well, they
wins.
Were this year's Ohio State.
Yeah.
They were Ohio State before Ohio State was Ohio State. But the thing is, they had some fallback. They were the previous champs, and they still had Jameis Winston on their team, who everybody the Heisman Trophy winner and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I don't know. Like I said, those would be mine.
But my point on that is should that count towards whether or not you're going to make a playoff? The fact that you are the defending champs, and the fact that you had the Heisman guy on your team—those two things should not factor into whether or not this year you are one of the four playoff teams.
No, but it does. It shouldn't, but it does. It's the same thing of, I saw people and I openly admit that I base my rankings off of what we thought in the preseason. Some people try to act like that you can go without that. And I've seen people talk about how if we really did it the way, if there was no preseason rankings and we just watched the games and we didn't rank until a month into the season, everybody would have Utah number one. Well, why would they have Utah number one? Because they wanted Oregon, who we all thought was going to be good, and they beat Michigan, who's good now.
Who's become, yeah.
But there was no, those are again, things based on what we thought in the preseason. We thought Oregon was going to be good, so Utah going out there and clobbering Oregon is the reason why everyone thinks that they should be number one. So you're still basing it off of, what you thought coming in. So, I don't know.
Who doesn't get talked about is Clemson.
Yeah, they need to. They will now. Yeah. I mean, after beating Notre Dame, they are now. And I haven't seen Clemson play yet. I saw them play Louisville on a Thursday night. They looked terrible. It's the only time I've seen Clemson.
Well, they'll have Florida State.
Right? Yeah. Well, and they've got some big games still coming.
That will be the.
People have to remember, I have to cover the A&M games too. So there's games that we don't get to see necessarily. I haven't got to see Clemson hardly at all. So
when you say there's games we don't see, there's a lot of games we don't get to see.
Well, especially on the road. Yeah. I didn't see any other games the day that we were in Arlington for that game. I think we've got a caller who wants to weigh in and ask a question here. I'm not sure because the studio's clicking around on things, but I think we might have I think we've got Jay with us. Jay, how's it going? Jay, you there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yep.
You there?
Okay. My thought was I was just going to throw it out there. I mean, I'm not a defense coordinator. Chavez doing a hell of a job over there. But my thought was if y'all might want to kick it around. What would y'all think about maybe A&M playing a 5-man front against Arkansas and Alabama, just trying to stop that running game, having Daley Mack up the middle rushing, maybe taking two guys to block him, and then the tackles, inside linebackers waiting in case anybody tries to get through, or maybe coming in for run support?
Yeah, there we go. Thanks for the question, Jay. And crew, we can kind of throw that around. There's the thing we don't know is we're not at practice to see A&M's personnel. Yeah. And I do like it for one reason, and that's just because, to me, if you can get another linebacker off the field, that helps A&M. Whether you put him on the defensive – whether you put that extra man on the defensive line or in the secondary, I think it helps. The other thing is A&M's biggest problem stopping the run against Arkansas wasn't necessarily the defensive line. It was filling in behind the defensive line. And when Myles Garrett goes upfield, someone's got to fill that gap. And I don't know that another defensive lineman is really the way to do that. He's going to have to slide off tackle, slide off blocks and that kind of stuff. What A&M needed was linebackers filling the hole better. And we've talked about some injuries that A&M has. They had Riley Garner out there trying to do that in the second half. And no offense to Riley Garner, might turn into a great player. He's not one yet. He's a true freshman.
He's a true freshman
who
didn't play
a year
ago. Yeah, in high school.
And then, you know, against Arizona State, they had Jake Blunt, a walk-on out there who hasn't played before trying to do that. So I think they've got some personnel issues at linebacker. I wonder if you don't walk up another safety. With Donovan Wilson so good in the nickel, he can play close to the line. We've seen Justin Evans play close to the line a little bit. And I think more that would be where your help comes from, is out of the secondary trying to fill gaps. The other thing is it's the style of run that Arkansas had. And I know that Alabama's a power run team too, but they're not a four tight end power run team. They keep their receivers out there, and I think A&M have a little more success against them than they did against.
My point would be that you've got to practice it, and do you practice it enough for two teams to then, you know, to run it against two teams? Because it's just like I found that yesterday, one of the most interesting things I found yesterday in the press conference when Spav said, yeah, we practice taking snaps under center, but it was almost like, but they're not confident enough doing it.
So if
you don't feel confident enough doing it because you don't practice taking snaps under center enough to do it out during a game, would you be confident enough in having a five-man line and knowing how to play
it? Well, and again, I think the bigger problem, this is what someone texted, and the bigger problem against Alabama is that they don't run the same stuff that Arkansas did. Now, I think a five-man front would have been a decent idea to try against Arkansas, because Arkansas brings everybody in the box. They got double and triple tights a lot of the time.
Definitely would have been better against Arkansas than Alabama.
But Alabama's not going to do that. They do power run. I mean, they run up the field, but they come out of three receiver sets. They've got guys all over the field. They'll leave their wide receivers on the field, and you can't lose a DB.
Alabama's
thought
of as a power running team,
but they haven't been the last couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, but they line up wide, and they have, you know, and obviously they don't have the receiver they did last year. But I mean,
last year they were receivers,
and I think it's just the fact that they have great linemen that everyone thinks of them as this power.
Well, yeah, last year Alabama was effectively a spread team a year ago. With Sims at quarterback, they were all but a spread team. And this year they're getting back to their roots a little bit, but they're still not – they're more of a pro-style team, which is not the same as what Arkansas is. Arkansas is some sort of 1850s-style team. And
Arkansas is the Big Ten 30 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. So
although Arkansas threw it a little bit,
They do some extra down stuff on the goal line. And stuff like that. So it is something they've worked on. I just don't know that would be the... Now, I tell you, the team that he didn't mention but that you could do this for is LSU. If you want to load up on the defensive line, fine. They can't throw it. So if you want to put extra guys out there
I didn't think about that. Yeah, you can do it against LSU you're not going to get burned.
Right.
What you're sacrificing is you're not going to get burned as much.
Right. Yeah, that'd be the team that I could see.
Even Arkansas could burn you more with their passing game.
Yeah, that's the team I could see it against. He didn't mention LSU, but that I wouldn't be surprised if we saw. All right, we got to go to a break. We're way overdue for a break. Keep your text coming, 229-1939. Come back. It's Aggie Nation powered by the Eagles, Sports Radio 1150. In the Zone FM 102.7.
For well over 10 years, Intercon has been telling consumers that vinyl windows are the best option for this climate. Now, there are a number of vendors offering a vinyl solution, but don't be misled. All vinyl windows are not the same. Changing the windows in your home is a major investment that you only want to do once. Ask to see a sample window and use your common sense. Does the window look and feel solid and substantial? Look at how the window operates. Does it have a continuous balance system or a cheap setup with pulleys and strings? Ask about the U factor and solar heat gain coefficient, which are standard energy performance metrics. Finally, ask about who will be installing the window and who will be standing behind the warranty. At Intercon, we use the Burris TechView line of windows made to our size specifications installed by Intercon full-time employees. We stand behind our products with industry-leading limited lifetime warranties. Trust your neighbors at Intercon with all of your window needs.
Whether you have new construction or an existing home, let the fine folks from Intercon help your home energy efficiency year-round. Call Brad Beard of Intercon today at 823-3639. That's 823-3639.
Ice cold, Coors Light.
Two here.
Coming. You know, strolling these aisles, I've seen it all. Jaw droppers, nail biters. Up close, it gives you goosebumps.
Come on.
Now, you want to feel the gridiron thrills in person? If you're a fan of Rocky Mountain Refreshment, you just might. Enter Coors Light's 2015 football sweepstakes. You win, Coors Light jets you and three pals to a game day of all game days. The sights, the sounds, the encased meats. It's pigskin paradise. They're handing off prizes every week all season long. Just grab Coors Light in the beer aisle. Send a photo of the receipt and you could be dancing in these aisles. Coors Light here. Born in the Rockies.
No purchase necessary to enter or win. Visit CoorsLightGameReady.com for official rules, including entry instructions and deadlines, odds, prizes, restrictions, and for details to enter without purchase. Ends 1-8-16 at 11:59:59 p.m. Central. Entry period deadlines for select prizes may apply. Entry for grand prize mention must be submitted by 10-25-15. Must be legal resident of 50 USDC, 21 years of age or older. Void where prohibited. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Great beer, great responsibility. Remember, 21 means 21.
Before construction ever starts on any new home or business, there has to be clearing and site preparation. That's why Kelly Burt Dozer should be your first thought and your first phone call. Kelly Burt Dozer has been clearing the path for progress for over 20 years, commercial or residential. See Kelly Burt Dozer for sand, gravel, topsoil and site preparation, lot, land, and road clearing. Kelly Burt Dozer, 778-1902. That's 778-1902.
Join the Brazos Valley Museum of Natural History for the Boonville Days Heritage Fair, Saturday, October 10th. Enjoy this free celebration of our heritage from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Activities will take place inside the museum and on the Brazos Center grounds. Learn about Brazos County's pioneer history, visit with characters in period costume, observe demonstrations of frontier skills and trades, see an authentic stagecoach, hear from a cowboy poet, and much more. Our activity area will keep children busy learning to make pinch pots and other period crafts. Boonville Days Heritage Fair, Saturday, October 10th at the Brazos Museum of Natural History, located at the Brazos Center.
Love A&M recruiting? Then you're going to love the Bellucci Hour Lunch with Billy and Bryce each Monday and Thursday at noon here on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Maybe I don't really want to know how you got in girls, 'cause I just want to fly. Lately, did you ever feel the pain?
Well, welcome back. It's been an in-depth episode today, Kroom. Sometimes we hit like 30,000 topics and we spend 2 minutes on each. Today we've had like two topics that we spent like 30 minutes on. But hey, if people text in and want to carry on the conversation, I'm always willing to. So always hit us up, 229-1939. It's Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, Aubrey Bloom, Richard Kroom. We got about, I don't know, 5-8 minutes or until they come in here and get mad at me for not going to the high school report. And I thought two things. One, if you were the A&M coaching staff, what is your big goal of the bye week? What do you think is the thing you're trying to shore up in practice? Maybe you spend 20 minutes on a day that you wouldn't normally have time to spend on. And then the other question, and I'm going to go ahead and say this one now to give people time to text in or whatever, but is what's the other most, you know, what's the what game are we watching this week? With no A&M game, what's the game that you care most about? What's the game you're psyched up for, you're going to turn on and watch, and one that you're intrigued to see the outcome of? Obviously, everyone's going to watch Texas, Oklahoma, but I mean one that, you know,
are they? I mean, and or for how long?
Yeah.
Or if you're an A&M fan, that as well, or do you just have to know that?
They want to watch it happen, so they can get out their phones and record Charlie Strong's facial expressions. Absolutely.
I forgot with that going on. Yeah, you can.
They're looking for sad Longhorn fans in the crowd. They're waiting for the exodus when Texas fans start leaving at halftime. By the way, Texas has over 2,700 tickets still available for that game, Kroom.
Remember though, was it? I don't know what year it was.
It wasn't that long ago.
There were a few years back when Oklahoma was really, everyone thought was really, really good, and Texas was in their mediocre stage. You know, they had just gotten. You know, they weren't great. Yeah. They weren't bad, and Texas won that game. It was like Texas's big victory of the year.
Yeah, they did that a couple of years back.
I guess my game is in. Partially just because they're coming here next is I want to see Alabama and Arkansas. Yeah, I want to see that game. I want to see how they, you know, I guess what I want to see more than anything is how Alabama does against Arkansas's defense.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the way I can compare things a little bit better, I believe. But, you know.
I think for, yeah.
You know, it's a team I got to see in Arkansas, so I know them a little better. I kind of always like to watch teams that I know a little bit better. You know,
for A&M, for A&M beat reasons, I think it's certainly Arkansas, Alabama. What about outside the SEC, maybe? I'll help you out because I got mine, and okay. It's the team that I've been – waiting to see how good they really are. And maybe we're going to find out this week. Northwestern Michigan.
yeah, that's a good one.
2:30 on Saturday on the Big Ten Network. Michigan, 7.5-point favorites in this one at home. I might be previewing my upset pick for tomorrow by saying that. But Northwestern's an interesting team. And the thing is, in the Big Ten, they're a little Big 12-esque with a divisional split. So if you get lucky, in what I mean is there are some horrible teams in that league, and they have a split division. So their schedule, you know, is not exactly a murderer's row. After this, Northwestern has Iowa, who's another surprise team this year, but they've got Iowa, Nebraska, Penn State, Purdue, Wisconsin, Illinois. So if the Wildcats can go into Michigan and get a win, then, I mean, you got to start talking about them as a potential team that can make a run just because of the way their schedule lines out, Kroom. So that's mine, at least for outside the SEC and the Big 12, frankly. But you shouldn't say what's your focus of the week for A&M?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, we talked earlier about, like, because we're a little worried about the offensive line, maybe experimenting a little bit with personnel there a little bit. I mean, how they go about it, who, because we haven't really even got to see other guys play to know whether or not they're much better or
yeah.
or they could give somebody else a run. But, you know, Coach, someone's always talking about, you know, competition, and I would think if there's any competition, it would be there, and of course linebacker, because we haven't even seen
yeah.
who should be there with because of the first suspensions and mostly injuries. Are there any real linebackers that stand out anyway?
Well, I think my big focus as a coaching staff would be on third down short yardage execution. And that's not necessary to say that execution is all of the problem. They've got to get in the film room.
I'm wondering if it's the play call.
They've got to get in the film room and figure out if what they're doing is the right thing or not. And that's actually why I asked a bunch of those questions on Monday, or Tuesday, along those lines, is where are they happy with what's going on third down? Because sometimes a big third down, you notice it a lot more, but maybe that play works six other times and you didn't notice it as well.
Well, and it's almost like they're better on third and six than they are third and
well, that's because
two,
they're better throwing
one.
It than yeah. running it. I mean, yeah. that's just the
so,
that's yeah, just that, who
well,
they
that's
are.
What makes me that's what made me say about play calling. I mean, even if just because it's third and one or two, isn't that supposed to be a running down theoretically? Or used to be, why run it? Why not do a shorter pass?
Of course,
part of that last week was they lost one of their bigger possession receivers.
Also, part of it
because of a call.
And I'm not trying to get too cloak and dagger here, but part of it is I think they thought they were going to win that game, and so they weren't. They want to keep some things in the bag for the next game. I mean, they know who's they're playing next, and I think they thought, you know, hey, we're doing well enough. This play will either work or we'll get a field goal and we'll still be fine.
Well, see, and that's the other thing. When we talked about it with the bye week, with Alabama coming in, you know,
shenanigans.
Yeah, shenanigans, and maybe not shenanigans as much as maybe the word wrinkles. You know,
yeah, wrinkles
comes up. You know,
what are they?
But yeah, you got to throw something a little different at Alabama that you feel confident you can do, that they haven't seen, or
trend breakers.
Yeah.
Someone said, is our bye week always the same as Red River? If so, we need to get Ags together to buy tickets and heckle the Sips. That's from John in Cypress.
No,
it almost never is. Yeah, in fact, I can't remember it ever being on the same week. It was supposed to be, I think, the year that A&M played in Baton Rouge, I mean, in Shreveport against Louisiana Tech, because I think I remember watching the Texas OU game that morning somewhere. So it was supposed to be on the same bye week that year. But most of the time, I can remember watching Texas OU at tailgates on campus and in different places.
Here's a game for you, by the way. Can we go back to that other part?
Well, hold on. So we got some more. Bama, Arkansas is all that matters. OU will boat race the Sips. But I won't even turn it on. That's Lance at College Station. And someone said, with bye week, I'm checking out Bama-Arkansas game to see what we got to do to win next week. This is from Ryan and Whitney. But he says, but really, I'll be hunting and keeping up with the Astros, depending on cell service. Yeah, I mean, the game of the week, the three Astros-Royals games starting tomorrow, crew. That's all that matters this weekend. What a perfect time for a bye. The fans can just, we can go ahead and get the Astros through the divisional series on a bye week. You don't have to divert our attention. What a perfect setup. Couldn't have been any better. And they don't play Saturday. I mean, this is the ultimate setup for if you're a college football and Astros fan. You had another one?
Well, I got one minor one. Miami, Florida State.
No, don't care. Florida State's going to win barely like they always do.
So you don't care just because it's gonna be a competitive
it's
game?
It's going to be a horrible game.
Here's the one because, you know me, the late night guy, and we have to be
of Pac-12 our, after dark.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who you got? Cal against Utah.
Cal, Utah?
Yeah.
I thought about
– it is at Utah, so I'm going to go with Utah.
I thought about pulling the trigger on that one, too.
But it'll be interesting to see what Cal does against Utah Cal's offense.
We'll see.
Because, I mean, they've been scoring points on anybody, Utah.
There you go. Well, so maybe some tips on what we're going to do tomorrow. We might have tipped our hand a little bit. Tomorrow we do our upsets of the week. So
you do your upsets of the week. We're doing a little switch tomorrow. Remember?
I'll have to make Primo do some upsets of the week. All right. That'll do it for this part of the show. We're going to go to break. We'll come back. Time for the high school report. It's Aggie Nation powered by the Eagle here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
From News Talk 1620 WTAW, I'm Chelsea Reber with a news update on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM. It won't be until this afternoon before a Brazos County District Court jury starts discussing the punishment of convicted capital murderer Gabriel Hall.
Lawyers were expecting to take at least 3 hours to make their final arguments. That did not get started on time due to Hall's lawyers raising more than 40 pages of last-minute objections. Jury was instructed that two unanimous votes were required for execution, which is sought by the prosecution. First, the jury must decide Hall's a continuing threat to society. Then the jury must decide there are no mitigating circumstances to warrant Hall receiving life without parole, which is sought by the defense. Bill Oliver, Newstalk 1620, WTAW.
Some College Station school district teachers and students are affected by a world geography textbook that was criticized by a mother of a Pearland student.
Immigrants. Yeah, that word matters. Immigrants. The Atlantic slave trade between the 1500s and the 1800s brought millions of workers from Africa to the southern United States to work on agricultural plantations.
The call out by Ronnie Dean Burren has led to the publisher pledging to change its textbook in hard copy and online. College Station ISD spokesman Chuck Glenwinkle says they are waiting for substitute materials from the publisher and for more information. The textbook is not used in the Bryan School District. The Bryan School Board has agreed to let administrators look into a possible change at future high school graduation ceremonies. Board member Kelly Levy asked to give parents who are employed by the district the option of giving their children their diplomas. Superintendent Tommy Wallace says high school administrators are open to investigating the idea. Levy says a trade-off for parents would be sitting closer to the stage and not with their families. For more, go online to WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM.
Pink Alliance is excited to announce that October 8th has been declared Paint the Town Pink Day. We invite you to wear pink this Thursday, October 8th, to any of the following restaurants: Rudy's Barbecue, Shipwreck Grill, Texas 21 Saloon, Texas Roadhouse, and The Backyard. And 10% of your bill will be donated to Pink Alliance. Please join us in promoting breast cancer awareness and prevention by painting the town pink this Thursday, October 8th. For more information, please visit our website at pinkalliance.org.
The Brazos Valley Fair and Rodeo means good times and great food. It's more than you imagine. October 16th, 17th, and 18th at the Brazos County Expo. Concerts by Charlie Daniels Band, Belgrove Pygmies, and Los Terribles del Norte. Free with your paid admission. Discounted tickets and unlimited ride wristbands available until October 11th at Producers Co-op, Cavenders, and online at BrazosValleyFair.com. Parking is free and kids 3 and under get in free.
October is here, but Halloween isn't till the 31st. But Rattlers has goodies for you every day, like Goodness Knows bars, two for only $3. Grab any size coffee or cappuccino to go with that for only 79 cents. Rattlers has in-store specials all the time, from hot dogs and chips to soft drinks. Make sure to stop by Rattlers on your way home from work and pick up any 12-pack from the fine families of beer, from Bud, Miller, and Coors, for only $10.99. Rattlers, friendly, clean, Texan.
If you're a high school senior, join your classmates and commit to attending all of your classes this year.
At the end of the school year, Atkinson Toyota Scion is giving away a new Scion, or you could win one of many scholarships.
Details online and on Facebook.
Spend your weekdays with Tex Ags Radio, Louie Bellina, Aggie Nation, and Chip Howard. Spend your weekdays with The Zone, FM 102.7, and Sports Radio 1150. Now, it's time for the High School Report, covering all the local sports action in the community on Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle.
Welcome back. Time for the High School Report, brought to you by Kelly Bird Dozer, your number one excavating contractor. You can call them at 778-1902. Kelly Bird Dozer, proudly supporting the youth of our community. Larry, what are the youth up to?
Aubrey, we're going to talk some high school swimming today. We have a swim meet, kind of a crosstown showdown.
Crosstown
splashdown? Yeah, the wet version of that's coming up. And it's interesting that I'm in here to talk swimming, even though David Campbell, our other high school guy, is the father of a former swimmer. His daughter Emma swam. My son Drew didn't swim. So it doesn't make any difference. Ryan Goodwin's our guest today. He's the A&M Consolidated Swimming Coach. Ryan, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Hey, great. Thanks for being with us. The reason we wanted to have Ryan on is because you guys will be taking on Bryan High tomorrow, right? Now, can you just kind of give us the particulars on that, Ryan, when and where and that type of thing?
The meet is at the College Station Auditorium, which is connected to College Station Middle School on Rock Prairie Road, back at the back by the football field and by the tennis courts. The warm-ups will start at 5:30. The meet will actually start at 6:30.
Okay, 6:30. Now, that's interesting, Ryan, because in the past, very often, you guys have held these meets, particularly the bigger meets in the spring when you compete with them and you have district and regionals and stuff like that. A lot of that's been over at the A&M Natatorium. Does this signal any kind of a change, or is this just for this particular meet?
We always have all of our dual meets at our pool,
right,
or at the team or something, except that last meet of the year against Bryan. And we usually tend to start and end the year with Bryan.
Right.
So every year we swim Bryan as our first dual meet, and then we do it again right at the very end before we go to districts and regions in January.
So you guys will be over at the A&M pool for that one.
Yes, that'll be our senior night and everything.
Right, okay. Ryan, tell us let's talk about fall swimming. I've talked to you about this before. Swimming is one of the sports, and probably most of the sports that we cover at the high school level these days. Kids pretty much train and prepare year-round. Certainly that's the case with swimming. I know I'll ask you in the when we're starting the spring season up, you know, what kind of shape your kids are in, and you say you gave them a week or two off, and then you tore them down and worked them so hard, and we're building them back up. But this is all part of the process, right, when you guys are competing in the fall, because your meets in the spring are when you win district championships and regionals and go to state. This is just part of the process, right?
Correct. We, you know, districts, regions, and state happen January, February. That's when things, you know, officially matter. But we use all of our dual meets leading up to that. As I tell the kids, it's information gathering. This is where I try kids in different events, try out different relay orders, see which one's the fastest, you know, find which kids have strengths that maybe you wouldn't have known if you hadn't put them in a different event and made them try something different. So my dual meet record, obviously, when we go into the meet, my goal is to win any meet we go into, but ultimately my dual meet record doesn't mean anything to me, because I don't always put my best lineup in every single event, because I'm trying to figure out, hey, I've never had this kid in breaststroke, let's see how he does, or I've never tried this girl in the 500, let's see how she does, and you know, figure out so that when it does matter at the end, I know I've got my best lineup ready to go.
Right. That's an interesting philosophy because that's what Aubrey does with the radio show here. He doesn't usually think of me as being the best in the lineup, but he throws me in there just in case. You know, he might happen upon something every once in a while. Talk about this, Ryan. I find this interesting. You have got an established program with a history of success. You've been there at Consol, and it is what it is. I mean, you guys swim well. That's what you do. You compete. You have success there. Brian has had a lot of turnover. You guys are going to have a dual meet with Brian tomorrow. You'll swim with them in that last meet of the regular season for senior night for both teams. And then you'll compete with them in district and some of them on in regionals and maybe even state. But they've had a lot of change and turnover. It's like you're the guy who's the constant through all this. You know, if you get a Brian coach, sometimes I guess with the new ones, you might have to almost kind of talk them through it. It's got to be a little bit tough when there's been a good bit of shuffling over there.
Well, the coach they have this year, she was been the assistant for a while, so it's not a complete turnover. I mean, yes, they did lose their head coach, but the girl that's their head coach now, she's been there and knows the system, and I think she knows what she's doing. And I've always tried to have a real cordial relationship. I think it's better when both programs get along well than when it's like a we don't like you kind of rivalry. Most of our kids are on the same club team together, so there's a lot of kids that swim for Brian that my kids swim with every night when they go to their club practice. So, you know, when we go to state, you know, with Brian, we travel together a lot of times and we'll go out to eat together. We are different schools, but we kind of treat it as one swimming community. The swimming community in this town is such a tight-knit group as it is that we don't feel the need to divide it. You know, I want to see her kids do just as well as hopefully she wants to see my kids do, because I feel like if we have them to push us, that makes us better.
Right. Our guest today is A&M Consolidated Swimming Coach Ryan Goodwin. The Tigers will have a dual match tomorrow night at 6:30 over at the pool behind College Station Middle School. It'll be a dual meet against the Vikings. Ryan, we've got a few more minutes. I'd like to ask you to tell us about some of your top kids. Probably don't have time just to do the whole roster because you obviously have a big program and a lot of kids competing. But can you tell us about some of the kids? And that might be based on what they've done in the past, you know, what expectations you have. We'll probably talk to you in the spring as we get closer to district and regionals and state and those things. But tell us some of your leaders, some of your top kids and names that we'll probably either be typing in or reading as we go through the upcoming season.
Some of the obvious ones, Maria De Figueiredo, who was top four in several events last year at state. We're hoping to get her onto the top three podium and maybe even at the top of the podium one or two events. She's going to be one of the top swimmers in the state in her events. She was last year. She's a senior. She's one of our girls' team captains. We have Peter Simmons, who also he was up in the top three and top three to five in multiple events last year as a freshman. We expect him to come back and do more of the same this year. He's one of the top butterflies and backstrokers in the state. We have a young girl who's a freshman this year named Jessica Pang. Had she been on the team last year, she would have been on several of my A relays and probably would have placed at state last year as an eighth grader with what she was doing on the club. She is a junior national level swimmer and just a freakishly talented young lady. And, you know, she's the kind that pushes the boys every morning in practice because you got senior boys realizing there's a freshman girl over there going that fast. So I'm looking forward to seeing what she does in the water when we get to the postseason and really start getting against the big competition. She's going to be great. We've got just a really good, strong crop of freshmen that came in. And, you know, we've got our traditional guys that have been good for us in the past. Like I said, Peter Simmons. We got a young man named Dora Garcia, and Tobias, or Toby as we call him. Toby is just, he had a good season last year, and it seems like this summer he kind of found a fire and is really probably my most consistently hard worker. I'm looking forward to seeing what comes out of him this year. I'm just really, you know, there's a lot of unknowns because of what I know we have a lot of talented freshmen who are coming off of the club. it's going to be fun to see how they react to the high school.
At club,
it's much more age-oriented, so they're 14-year-olds swimming against 14-year-olds. Now they got to step up and swim against seniors who might be 17 and 18, and it's going to be fun to see how they react.
Well, depth has always been an impressive thing for your program, or I think one of the things that your program always brings to the table. I know you're very involved with the club scene as well as the high school program, and that's a big part of it. When those freshmen come in there, because you've spent time with them in club, they kind of know you and you know them. Now, in other sports, we would joke around. We had a running joke for a long time about Ross Rogers, the Bryan football coach, because people, when he was back at Consol, people used to say all of a sudden great players always seem to transfer into his program. So we're not going to accuse you of recruiting, but as I look at your, as I hear what you talk about with the roster with some of those freshmen, that's got to be encouraging to you just to see the next crop come in and know that there's more success down the line.
Well, yeah, you know, the Aggie Swim Club is without a doubt, without the club team doing what they do for the young kids, our high school team would not be what it is. I am one of the coaches for the club team, but I coach the little kids. So, you know, I coach little kids that end up going to swim in Bryan, and, you know, and I love that. I love being at state, you know, last year and seeing Harrison or seeing Julia and seeing kids that I've coached when they were little winning state for Bryan. It doesn't matter to me. To me, it's all about the swimming community in this town. But when I do have my Consol hat on, it is fun to have the kids that, you know, they're kids that by the time they graduate high school, I've been coaching them since they were 9 years old. You know, I coached them third, fourth, fifth grade in middle school when they were on the club. Then they left my group to go up to the next group up, and then all of a sudden they come back and I'm coaching them again as high schoolers. So by the time they've graduated, I've coached them for 7-8 years. So that's the part that I like, is getting to see them for that whole long time.
Yeah, and you've been coaching David Campbell and I as far as the sports writing thing for quite a few years too. That's our friend Ryan Goodwin, the A&M Consolidated Swimming Coach. You're going to have a dual match tomorrow evening against Bryan High. That'll be at College Station Middle School's pool at 6:30. And one last thing, Ryan, you're mentioning your good swimmers, and the first one because of her success that came up is Maria DeFigueredo. And I just want you to mention to Maria that I have some pulled muscles in my fingers from typing that name over the years, okay?
Yeah, it took me a good year to figure out how to spell wrong. I think one year I ordered her sister's state jacket and spelled the name wrong on her jacket and had to order a new one. So I finally figured out how to spell DeFigueredo. It took me a while.
There you go. That's Ryan Goodwin. Ryan, thanks for the time. I'm sure we will be talking to you in the spring when you guys crank it up. And if Mr. Campbell makes it over there for his assignment tomorrow, don't throw him in the pool.
Will do. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks.
There you go, Larry. That is today's High School Report, brought to you by Kelly Bird Dozer, your number one excavating contractor. You can call them at 778-1902. Kelly Bird Dozer proudly supporting the youth of our community. While we're talking about high schools, Larry, I want to mention that this Wednesday, today, make your way over to Christ Market for the Crosstown Kickoff Show. Bryan and Consol, the old school, the original Crosstown Showdown.
I don't know how much time we have. Real quickly, today's my day at the Mission. Our church group serves at Twin City Mission on Wednesdays. One of the people who came from another group to volunteer is the father of a safety for A&M Consolidated who's going to be on the radio tonight at the Crosstown thing.
Yeah, there you go.
And the other thing is another person volunteering, Devontae Harris.
Hey.
It's a great kid. Had a nice time with him, so I can give him some props for that.
Yeah, there you go. Should be a good time at the Mission and a good time at the kickoff show there tonight at Kreitz Market at, again, 6 o'clock over there. Go check it out. All right, we're going to go to break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up with the news. Aggie Nation powered by the Eagles. Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
Ice cold, Coors Light.
Two here.
Coming. You know, strolling these aisles, I've seen it all. Jaw droppers, nail biters. Up close, it gives you goosebumps.
Come on, up in!
Now, you want to feel the gridiron thrills in person? If you're a fan of Rocky Mountain refreshment, you just might. Enter Coors Light's 2015 football sweepstakes. You win. Coors Light jets you and three pals to a game day of all game days. The sights, the sounds, the encased meats. It's pigskin paradise. They're handing off prizes every week all season long. Just grab Coors Light in the beer aisle. Send a photo of the receipt, and you could be dancing in these aisles.
Touchdown!
Coors Light here, born in the Rockies.
No purchase necessary to enter or win. Visit CoorsLightGameReady.com for official rules, including entry instructions and deadlines, odds, prizes, restrictions, and for details to enter without purchase. Ends 1-8-16 at 11:59:59 p.m. Central. Entry period deadlines for select prizes may apply. Entry for grand prize mention must be submitted by 10-25-15. Must be legal resident of 50 USDC, 21 years of age or older. Void where prohibited. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Great beer, great responsibility. Remember, 21 means 21.
Green Teams welcomes the Texas A&M University Center and Special Events to its family of customers. Like many other businesses, Texas A&M Center and Special Events uses Green Teams for interior landscaping. Green Teams also offers short-term plant rentals for events like weddings and conferences. Make your work environment more pleasant with plants. For more information about interior landscaping, call Susie Gallagher with Green Teams, 823-7551. Green Teams.
Be our guest for Broadway's most enchanted musical. Networks proudly presents Disney's Beauty and the Beast, live on stage, featuring all of the adventure, the spectacular effects, and the classic Disney songs you've come to love.
Disney's Beauty and the Beast, presented by MSC Opus, October 20th and 21st in Rutter Auditorium, sponsored by Aggieland Credit Union. Get your family's tickets now, mscopus.org.
Aggie fans, the Kevin Sumlin Radio Show is at Rudy's Barbecue on Harvey Road for the 2015 football season. Show features the coach, questions from the floor as he joins the fans to talk some Aggie football. It's 7 o'clock, Rudy's Barbecue on Harvey Road each Tuesday night. Of course, you'll hear it all here on the Aggie Radio Network. But we'll see you at Rudy's each Tuesday at 7. It's the Kevin Sumlin Radio Show. Come and join us for 1 hour of all things Texas A&M football.
Before construction ever starts on any new home or business, there has to be clearing and site preparation. That's why Kelly Burt Dozer should be your first thought and your first phone call. Kelly Burt Dozer has been clearing the path for progress for over 20 years, commercial or residential. See Kelly Burt Dozer for sand, gravel, topsoil and site preparation, lot, land, and road clearing. Kelly Burt Dozer, 778-1902. That's 778-1902.
Catch up on the Longhorns, the Big 12, and football from around the state with Cedric Golden of the Austin American Statesman each Friday at 11:30 on the Louis Belina Show, powered by teamofnevasota.com.
I knew a girl, her name was Truth. She was a horrible liar. She couldn't spend.
Welcome back. Aggie Nation, powered by Eagle. Aubrey Bloom, joined by Darren Bitson. Real quick, Darren, before I forget, let's give the people another chance to win a little bit of something. We got some tickets for the Renaissance Festival this weekend. If you want to give Sean over there a call, 693-1150. I didn't clear it with him, so hopefully he's at his desk. But you call him, and I don't know, second person that calls, you can have a pair of tickets to the Renaissance Festival for this weekend only for these tickets. So call in, again, 693-1150, and Sean will hook you up and tell you how to get over here to the Eagle, and will give me your name so that you can win the tickets. All right, what's going on out there, Darren?
Well, lots of stuff. So if you're like me, you're already looking forward to the weekend. But this weekend, because there's no game, there's a lot of activities going on in town. So you got to start planning now because you're going to have to hit them all. Renaissance Festival, of course, is one of them. So call in and get those tickets. But if you don't get the tickets, you can still go on out there. Plus, if you don't make it this weekend, there's lots of weekends all the way through Thanksgiving where you can go out there. But the Renaissance Festival officially opens this weekend it's their first weekend. But like I said, lots of other things going on, including there's a veterans event. It's a pub crawl and 22-kilometer hike. It's in remembrance of the veterans who commit suicide. The interesting thing about this is apparently the people who are doing it do it in their underwear. But you can tag along if you want to be clothed. We'll tell you why they're doing it in their underwear in tomorrow's paper.
There's a lot of details that need to be filled in there. You have to read that whole story, I imagine.
But there's a lot of events going on this weekend. We have Special Olympics in town this weekend, so head on out to the Fall Classic for the Texas Special Olympics. They're doing aquatics events, bocce ball, and several other events are going on in town. So head on out there and support the Special Olympics. We also have just way too much stuff going on. There's a couple of homecoming games this weekend. So there's no shortage of things to do. So look in tomorrow's paper for the full list. Hopefully we've got them all. There's the Monster Bash benefit. The Sexual Assault Resource Center is happening on Saturday. Lots of other things happening on Saturday, but look in tomorrow's paper. In addition to all of the things going on this weekend, we will tell you about a breast cancer survivor. Of course, October is Breast Cancer Survivor Awareness Month, which is why you see all the pink stuff going on all across the country. So we'll tell you about a local breast cancer survivor who found out in April that she had breast cancer, and then she was declared cancer-free last month. So we'll tell you her story. Also follow-up from Blinn College about the Brazos County Campus President Sylvia McMullen taking on a new role as they look for a new Brazos County Campus President. Also, the Boonville Heritage Camp Cabin out at the Boonville Cemetery is going to be they've been rebuilding that, if you've seen that, Frontier Cabin. They are dedicating that on Friday. We also have a follow-up to the Bonfire Memorial story that we had in today's paper about a fraternity who apparently was doing an activity out at the Bonfire Memorial, and some people thought it was insensitive to the memorial. They have apologized and said that they will be moving their activity to someplace else in the future. So that and lots, lots.